How are you, Congressman?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
What do you feel like on Election Day? You a little nervous? You get butterflies in your belly because you have no control today?
That's right. What you do is you make sure you're busy. I've already done 2 plant gates this morning. We're on our third radio call. We got home last night at midnight. You're just going out and staying busy, trying to get those last few undecided voters, trying to get those last voters to the polls, hoping that you've got all of your ground game in place, get out the vote effort. So, sure, you got butterflies. I mean, this is the final test. Today is when the voters, reach and express their verdict on the work that you've done and many of us have put in over the last year.
Historically, low voter turnout works out well for the Democrats, but in a situation now where you have to vote one party or the other, what are you hoping for?
Well, I mean, I hope that that all the voters who are informed, who've taken the time to pay attention to the candidates, the issues and those types of things, I hope they come out to the polls. I mean, this is all about getting people involved and being part of the process. We want a good turnout today. I think that works. That works for all of us. That's good for the system when you've got a good turnout.
Did you miss anything in your campaign? Do you wish you would have said something or done something, or was there something you missed?
Oh, I'm sure that there were plenty of things that we missed, but. You got a limited amount of resources in regards to time and money, and those types of things. And we'll do what is called an after action after the primary to see exactly what those things were. But right now we're focused on what we need to get done in the last 12 and a half hours.
We had Tom George on the program, and the senator said that he's the only Republican candidate who can really do something with the budget that Mr. Bouchard, Mr. Cox, Mr. Snyder, and yourself want to not increase taxes. As a matter of fact, you want to cut taxes, but that means there's going to be no way to pay for all the things we need to pay for in the budget. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, it's clear that Michigan's got one of the most expensive tax systems in the country. We have a tax system that is anti-jobs, anti-economic growth, and it has to change, and the tax burden has to be reduced if we're going to bring Michigan back. I find it just very surprising that even in today's economic climate that there are those that are talking about increasing taxes and increasing spending. I mean, we tried that in the Michigan legislature a couple of years ago, and it didn't work. Michigan's economy continued to go down downhill. We've had the highest unemployment for four to five years. This is just an issue where Tom and I disagree. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Senator George. I just think he's wrong.
Where in the world are we going to find the money to pay for everything that we need, especially the important things, infrastructure, health care? We got to pay our teachers. We've got law enforcement. How are we going to pay for all that stuff?
Well, I think it was just 10 days ago that a study came out by an independent group that identified in Michigan's healthcare system, that part of the healthcare system that's funded by the state government, they found $4 billion of waste, fraud, and abuse. I haven't gone through it in detail, but, that would be a good place to start. You start taking a look at the corrections budget, where we're spending $35,000 a year to house criminals. Other states are spending $24,000 to $25,000. That's another good place to start. You can take a look at streamlining government and making sure that what's being done at the state is complemented, not replicated by what's being done at the county, the township, the city, or the village level. Those are just some places you can go. And Tony, people in the private sector have done this. They don't believe that that government has made all of the savings that can be found. As a matter of fact, state workers don't believe it. I can't tell you how many state workers have come up to me in the last month and said, wow, we've identified all kinds of areas of waste, fraud, and abuse in the state budget. We're really looking forward to when you're governor so that we as state employees can work with you to make state government more effective and more efficient. They're willing to be part of the team that brings Michigan back.
there are political ads out there that address negatively your voting record, and I wanted you to have the opportunity to address that.
Yeah, I think, again, yesterday or last night, one of the groups that goes out and analyzes these ads, and, you know, it's kind of a truth squad, and the latest ad from, you know, from the Attorney General, you know, they've reviewed the ad, and basically, if I heard it right, they're saying there's absolutely nothing true about the ad that Mike Cox is running about my record or my proposals to bring Michigan back. That's been a consistent pattern. We've not spent $1 on a negative ad or a negative theme through this campaign. It's a sharp contrast between me and the other candidates running for governor. We're talking about the issues. We're talking about the future. And I think today the voters of Michigan are going to come back and say, thank you, Pete, for keeping it positive. Thank you for recognizing that bringing Michigan back, while it's going to be hard, doesn't mean that it has to be mean-spirited, and it doesn't mean that you have to distort the truth and distort the facts to run a successful campaign.
We've got two more questions for Congressman Pete Hoekstra on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Congressman, there's a lot of undecided voters out there. You're in a tight race with Mr. Cox and Mr. Bouchard and Mr. Snyder. What separates you from those three candidates? Why would those undecided voters want to vote for you?
Because I'm the guy that comes into this job with the resume, the track record of applying conservative principles in both the business sector and the government sector. I've got a proven track record working for a Fortune 500 company, being a vice president at a Fortune 500 company, you know, watching that company grow and create jobs. And for a company, Herman Miller, that's still producing goods and products in Michigan, a Michigan company, and I've been successful in Congress leading in both of those areas. We need a governor that knows on day one how to get the job done, what needs to be done, and how we're going to go about getting it done. I'm the candidate that brings that kind of experience, and I firmly believe that Michigan's future is going to begin with the people of Michigan and not with government. We got to give them some freedom back.
All right. Finally, before we let you go, I want you to use your political expertise here. Let's just say that you win today. Who is going to be your opponent for the governor's job?
I think right now I would say it's going to be Hoekstra versus Bonero on November 2.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear a decisive decision on what's good, because I know some people are going to duck out of that.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll tell people what they think. I've done it for 18 years. They don't always like it, but they know that I shoot straight with them.
Congressman, thanks for your time today. Win or lose, we're going to talk with you tomorrow, and we've enjoyed the process.
Hey, great. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Okay.